Hey friends, welcome to the St. Mark's City podcast. We pray that you are blessed and challenged as you listen to this message. God bless you.
We're in a sermon series called Top Up. The idea being, and for this week, is that we take the time during these summer months to refuel our soul, our body, our minds and spirit. And as we do, that God will take us higher. We will ascend higher into Him, into Christ, and all that He's prepared for us for this next season that we are all going into. But how many of you know that when summer hits, we have this tendency to kick back a little bit? We have a tendency just to kind of take the foot off the gas a little bit, slow things down. We look forward to long evenings, warmer weather, at least for a week or two anyway, hanging out with friends and planning barbecues, family holidays, and maybe, just maybe, like we did last week, topping up your tan, sitting in the warm sunshine and just simply soaking it up. Obviously, the dangers of topping up your tan and sitting in the sun for too long is that we will get sunburned. And so that's the idea of our sermon series just this morning. The title of it is Sunburned, as in S-O-N, sunburned, but marked for Jesus. How many of you know that when you do get sunburned, it leaves a mark on you? If you're wearing T-shirts, you have what we call the Irish tan. You just got it on the neck and the lower arms and these parts of the legs. And but it marks you, and it's obvious that there's an Irishman after being in the sun. Now, in the natural, we know that too much sun can be dangerous. But what we don't want to do is to completely avoid the sun, because the sun, as we know, has plenty of health benefits, both to us and to the world around us. Let's just look at some stats on the benefits of the sun, the S-U-N, up in that big blue sky. It's gravity. Holds the planets, the asteroids, all of those things, the comets and other objects together in orbit. It keeps them together. The Bible says of Jesus that He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. So it's important to know that when we sit in the presence of God Almighty, when we sit and get plenty of the sun, S-O-N, that He's able to hold all things together in our own lives. Sunlight powers photosynthesis, which is the process plants use to create food and oxygen. And without sunlight, the food chain would collapse. In other words, there's no life. But Jesus says, I have come that you may have life, and life in all of its fullness. So the importance of sitting with Christ has more benefits to us. Sunlight regulates our internal clocks, influencing sleep, mood, and overall health. The sun sets and it rises. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest for your weary soul. When the sunlight hits your skin, I just done this last week, it triggers a chemical reaction that produces vitamin D. I know you know all this, but I'm going somewhere with it. Just 10 to 30 minutes of midday sun, 2 to 3 times a week on your face, arms or legs can help maintain a healthy levels. Stats show that 90 to 95% of most people's vitamin D comes from sunlight, not food, and an estimated 1 billion people worldwide are deficient in vitamin D. Most of them are in Ireland. Often due to lack of sunlight exposure. Those who are deficient in vitamin D have shown evidence of a weakened immune system, fatigue, bone pain, and depression. Without the sun, your body can't make vitamin D naturally. And it's a reminder to us that we're not meant to be living in darkness. We're designed to live in light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. These few facts about the sun are a reminder of the health benefits that the sun has to offer to us when we sit in it, in the natural sun, rest in its warmth and enjoy it. Not only does it transform how we feel on the inside, but with the right amount of sunshine on our skin, it gives us a healthy glow and a radiant look. And the same is true for you and I when we sit in His presence. There's a radiance that rests upon us. Listen to what it says of Moses in Exodus 34. It says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the 2 tablets of the covenant of the law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. We know Moses had been with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. Yet when he came away from being in the Lord's presence, he wasn't even aware that his face was radiant. He wasn't even aware that his face had shone. And the same is true for you and I. When you and I take time to get plenty of sun, when you and I take time to sit in his presence and be marked by Jesus, these same things that happened to Moses and the people of Old Testament can happen to us as well. Psalm 34 says this, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. And so here's the essence of the message this morning. We may want to slow things down a bit in this season, but let's not neglect our time spent with Jesus. If you and I want to stay on top of things and be marked by Jesus, then we need to get plenty of sun. Remember, those who are deficient in vitamin D show signs of a weakened immune system, fatigue, bone pain, and depression. And when you and I neglect the presence of God, we too will have a deficiency. We become weak, vulnerable, and open to the schemes of the enemy. But God is calling us to remain in him so that his life will flow through us in a way that will radiate his presence. So are you ready to get more sun? Are you ready to sit in God's presence here this morning? Our text this morning is from John 15, and we all know this. It's John 15, 1 through to 7. It's going to be on the screen. It says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Verse 4 says, remain in me and I will remain in you. Linger in me, stay with me, dwell with me. That's what he's saying here. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile and burned. Verse 7 says this, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. There's seven mentions here about remaining in Christ, which tells us something of the importance of this passage of Scripture. If you and I want to have the full life that God has promised for us, we have to abide in him. There has to be a regular time where we go and just simply sit in his presence. In other words, stay, to live there, to remain there, or to settle in for the long term. You think of a marriage, it will only be as healthy as the two remain committed to their vows. Husbands, you try go off and live your life as a single man and come back and ask your wife to cook dinner, make the beds and do whatever you want, you will not be greeted with all you would expect to be greeted with. A relationship with the Lord will only be as healthy as often as we go and sit with him. I have two thoughts from our text this morning that I want to unpack really. And just my prayer is that it will challenge us to get plenty of sun this summer and to maintain a healthy relationship with Jesus. My prayer is that from these two points, We'll examine our own lives, examine our own thoughts. And yes, we do want to take our foot off the gas. Yes, we do want to kick back this summer and enjoy the long evenings and barbecues and we plan holidays. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But the danger, folks, is that mindset trickles into our walk with God. And we kick back and I don't need to read this morning. I don't need to stay. I don't need to do this. I don't need to do that. But when you and I maintain a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ, he will meet us where we are at. So the first thought I have is this, get plenty of sun because God is about to make you more fruitful. Notice what it says in these two verses, in the first two verses. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. Often when we find ourselves going through tough seasons, tough times, difficult times, challenging times, we often have this tendency to ask, why? Why me? What's going on? Why is this happening? Why am I suffering? And in those moments, the temptation for us is to really look inward at ourselves and maybe, what have I done wrong? Or maybe we blame the devil. Maybe we start saying, oh, this is an attack and I'm not too sure what's going on. And we look for all these reasons and excuses to shift our focus elsewhere. Why is this happening? But the problem with this kind of mindset is that it shifts the focus away from Jesus. Remember what Psalm 34 verse 5 says, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. So in our challenging seasons, in our tough times, in those difficulties that we go through, the challenge is for us to look to him, because maybe, just maybe, God is at work in the midst of what he wants to do in our lives. So regardless of whether we're going through it or not, regardless of how great things are going, God is always at work in you and I, shaping us and forming us and pruning us into his image. That word prune literally means to cleanse. The idea is to make something clean by taking away an undesirable part. You think of anybody, I mean, I've done it years ago as well as a child, wherever you fall and you get a graze on your hand, you get a graze on your arm and it's full of dirt. You bring it into your mom, you bring it somewhere to the, wherever it may be, a nurse, and then they're cleaning it, but they're cleaning it with alcohol and it's not pleasant. They're getting rid of the dirt that's in it. It hurts. But we don't cut off the limb. We cleanse the area that has the potential to be infected. So to prune really means to remove that which is unclean. We cleanse the area to avoid infection and encourage healthy growth. Pruning doesn't feel nice, but it encourages healthy growth and it produces more fruit. It is said of a goldsmith that he heats the gold to a liquid state, that all its impurities, all the things that will stain it, come to the surface. And when he can skim them off, a goldsmith knows that the impurities have gone when he can look at the gold and see his own reflection. When God looks into my heart, when God looks into your heart, whose reflection does he see when we're going through seasons of pruning? We often think hardship means God is angry or we've done something wrong, but often it's the exact opposite. Pruning is not punishment. It's preparation for God to produce more fruit. Pruning is not punishment. It's preparation for God to produce more fruit. Any tree that's in your garden, any little plant that you put down, watch it grow and watch what other stuff grows around it. When you begin to prune and cut back certain stems or certain branches, it produces growth elsewhere. And God wants us to grow. God doesn't want us to stay stagnant. God wants us to bear more fruit. And pruning only happens to those that are producing fruit so that they can produce more fruit. If there's no fruit in your life, if you feel like there's a deadness like God prunes and he cuts off that which isn't producing the life of Christ in us. So get plenty of sun this summer because God is about to make you more fruitful. It's a promise from God. The second thought I have is this: get plenty of sun. God is about to answer your prayers. Verse 7 says this: but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Jesus is not saying that we can have carte blanche to ask for anything we want. His point is that when we are abiding in his word and his word is in us, we will ask in according to the will of Jesus. When you and I are staying with Christ, when you and I are abiding in Christ, he changes us and shapes us into his image, but he also shapes how we think. He shapes our desires. You can all testify to this. You know what your lifestyle was like before you came to Christ. You know what your lifestyle was like before you came into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You had certain attributes about you. Your characteristics were certain things where your group of friends had a certain way about them. We made choices based on our environment. We made choices based on those who were influencing us. Some of us maybe came out of a life of addiction. Some of us maybe came out of a life of whatever it was. But we came out of a life of emptiness in some way, shape, or form. And there were choices, there were desires that were made, that we followed, that led us to an empty way of living, that kept us entrapped and ensnared in that empty way of living. But then somebody came along and introduced us to Christ. Somebody came along and put a Bible in our hands. Somebody encouraged us to read the Gospel of John, the Psalms. Somebody encouraged us to come to church. Somebody encouraged us to listen to worship. Somebody encouraged us to get into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we know from relationships that when you spend time with that individual, you get to know them. They say, like the five, I think it's the five groups of friends or the three groups of friends that you have, the three or five closest friends you have, you will become like them over time. So who was our friendships back then before we became Christians? How were they shaping and forming us? And yet when we got invited to church, when we began to read the Bible, when we began a relationship with Jesus Christ, our desires began to change. Our motives began to change. Our wants, our longings began to change. And I speak for myself. I no longer wanted to do some of the things I wanted to do. There was nothing wrong with the friends that I was hanging out with. We just began to have a different set of values. No longer could I walk the pathway with them. I had to walk the pathway with others. And as we walk that pathway with others, as we walk that pathway with Christ, he gives us the desires of our hearts, because his desires are in us. He changes us from the inside out. So he's not saying that we can have carte blanche to ask for anything that we want. His point is that when we are resting in his word, when we remain in him, listen to what that says. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you. So there's a correlation there to them both. It's me staying with Christ. It's me going to that quiet place to be with him. But when I walk away from that place, do I leave his words there? Or do I take them with me? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, when his words remain in us, they begin to change us. They begin to fashion us into his image. We begin to become more compassionate, more kind. His word goes out and it achieves and accomplishes the purpose he sends it for. So his word works, and he works his word in us to change us. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything that you want and it will be granted. Charles Spurgeon says this. He says, God will not hear our words if we disregard his words. God will not hear our words if we disregard his words. Often we say to ourselves, oh, we want to see a move of God, and we want to see God move in our families, and we're going on and on and on about a move of God. But God is asking us to move to him first. If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. When you and I sit in his presence, when we get plenty of sun this summer, this season, God will produce in you more fruit. And the same is true when we get plenty of sun, when we sit in his presence. God is about to answer your prayers, because he changes you from image to image. He changes us into his likeness. And his likeness is not just reflecting the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but it's the desires to see others come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. God will not hear our words if we disregard his words. The story is told of a young boy who had his heart set on a particular toy that he wanted for his birthday. While out shopping with his parents, he spotted a small, flashy version of what he wanted. It got his attention, but it lacked real quality and depth. The young boy pleaded for it, insisted on it, and wouldn't let it go. Eventually, the parents said to him, "We'll see," and took him home. What the child didn't realise was that a far better version had already been bought, one that was more advanced, more durable, and meant to grow with him over time. But because the boy was so fixated on the smaller version and refused to let it go, the parents eventually returned the better gift and bought the one the child had demanded. On the big day, the child opened the gift and for a short moment was delighted with what he got, until his parents mentioned what could have been. Suddenly, the lesser version didn't feel so satisfying. He had gotten what he'd asked for, but missed what had been planned for him. And that's often how our prayer works. When it's driven by impulse rather than through a relationship, we miss out on what God has planned for us. And God has so much more in store for each and every one of us. God has so much more planned for you and I. "For I know the plans that I have for you," says the Lord. "Plans to prosper you." God wants to prosper you. That's not health, wealth, and prosperity. That's not manipulating the gospel. God wants to see you prosper. Whether that's financially, whether that's in health, whether that's bearing much fruit. God wants to see you prosper. He wants to see your relationships prosper. He wants to see your marriage prosper. He wants to see your children prosper. "For I know the plans that I have for you," says the Lord. Let's not miss out on the plans because we lack spending time with God. Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. Abiding in Christ aligns us with the desires of Christ. And when his desires become our desires, you may ask anything you want and it will be granted, because now your desires are the desires he's placed on your heart. So the question isn't, am I asking, or what am I even asking for? The question is more about, am I abiding? Am I remaining? Do I linger in his presence? Do I disregard his word and expect him to regard my word? The more you and I abide, the more you and I remain and just linger in the presence of God, the more our prayers move from short-sighted short-sighted demands to spirit-shaped desires. And those are the kind of prayers that God delights to answer. So get plenty of sun, guys, because God is about to answer your prayers. Let's stand. Father, I pray. Father, I pray, oh God, that you will move on our hearts. Father, it's our desire, Lord God, that even, I think it's in 1 John, it says that it talks about being healthy even as our soul prospers. Father, we want our souls to prosper, but we know our souls can only prosper when we sit in the presence of the one who fashioned and formed us, who knit us together in our mother's womb. We know we will only prosper, oh God, when we spend time with you, when we bring our prayers and requests to you. We know, oh God, we will only become more fruitful when we allow you to prune us. And so, Father, for those maybe that are going through a challenging time right now, for those that are looking at their situation, their circumstances, and seeing that it's difficult, and they're maybe fixated on the problem, Father, I pray, even right now, Lord, that they will look to you. Your word says those who look to you are radiant. And Father, I pray you will cause your face to shine upon them. I pray you'll help them make sense of their situation right now. I pray, oh God, that you'll begin to regard their words, their prayers, because right now they're drawing near to you. They're taking on board what it is you would say to them, how it is you would fashion them, how it is you would shape them. Change our desires, oh God, that our desires may be like your desires. Father, that our prayers may be heard, that our prayers may be answered. Father, move as only you can move. But draw us near to you, oh God, this summertime. Draw us into your presence, oh God. Yes, let us enjoy the natural sun. but may we see the benefits of sitting in your presence during this season. May we know, oh God, that when we get plenty of sun, you are going to produce more fruit in each and every one of us. That when we sit in your presence and get plenty of your son, Jesus Christ, you, oh God, will answer your prayers, the prayers of your people. And so, Father, we commit ourselves unto you one more time. Father, we ask that you will lead us, you will guide us, you will direct us in the way that we should go. Father, where our relationship has waned, has lacked, revive us once again. Stir our hearts, oh God, for what stirs your heart. I don't know if you're here this morning and you maybe in church for the first time, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to give you an opportunity just to make that decision. I'd like to look at it being like through A, B, and C. How do I become a Christian? Well, it means I get born again. What does even born again look like? It just means that God places his spirit in our lives and gives us a new life. He gives us his life. It's like turning over a new leaf, except it's the life of Christ in us. So how do I get born again? Well, A, I acknowledge my need for a Savior. B, I believe that Christ is that Savior. And C, I simply confess him as Lord and Savior. And so while every head is bowed, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask, do you just slip up your hand where you're sitting or where you're standing and just allow me to pray for you? Amen. No hands. We're all saved. Amen. Isn't God good? The house full of worshipers. A house full of people that God's going to answer their prayers. A house full of people where God's going to move on their lives and make us more fruitful. So, Father, one more time, oh God, we just commit ourselves into your hands. We ask, oh God, come. Speak to us. Even as the team lead us in worship, oh God, that you'll move on our hearts. Produce the kind of fruit that is lasting, oh God. And may your words remain in our hearts so that our words will be heard by you and you, oh God, will grant us the desire of our hearts. And everyone said, Amen.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. If you would like to connect further with St. Mark's City, go to stmarks.ie. Have an incredible day. God bless you.